Matthew chapter 2. I will be doing a little bit of reviewing. We were from verse 18 to 25 2 weeks ago, and then during the week's study, we have enjoyed down through verse 12, and so we're going to start with verse 13, but we'll be making some references, some reviewing a little bit of that, but we're going to begin with verse 13 today. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently acquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken of by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentations and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he returned aside into parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. And so let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come and read your precious word and help us to understand it, help us to enjoy it, have it to be a blessing to our hearts today as we open this precious word and hear from you. So please touch every one of our hearts. If the need is for salvation, please, dear Lord, that you bring the lost that are here that have never called upon you. What a time, what a great day to become a Christian, to be born again. And all we need to do, dear Lord, is call upon your name and say, Please, dear Lord, forgive me of my sins, save me. And we know whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So please, that a calling comes from the heart, and that call will go out today. And please, dear Lord, for all that are saved, that have been saved maybe just a short time, maybe for many years, have a message that we've heard, read many times, still have it to touch our hearts and be as alive and new today as the first time we heard it. And so please, dear Lord, just speak to all of our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In this area of Scripture from chapter 2, verse 1 through the 12th verse, we have looked at the wise men as they arrived. We discussed and enjoyed talking about the star. We talked about Herod and what was going on there as he was Sunday school class, that he was kind of upstaged when they come seeking for the king of Israel. And so Herod was put out then that these wise men were to go to Bethlehem. They inquired of the sorcerers and the wise men of that land of Jerusalem, and it was told them that he would be found, this child would be found, the king of Israel would be found in Bethlehem. And so he sent them to Bethlehem. And we're told in the 11th verse, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Oh, what a wonderful day. You know, when they fell down to worship him, we see very clearly that they did not worship Mary. They worshiped the child. They did not worship Joseph. They worshiped the child. They worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. And they opened their treasures and they gave gifts unto this child. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has been born here upon earth. And they gave him these wonderful gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And we know as we look at those gifts that it speaks of his kingship, of him being royal with the gold. And the frankincense is his life, his deity. And then we look at the myrrh, why it speaks of his death. And we read a verse of scripture from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 6. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephraim, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. And when we look at that, prophecies, they're wonderful prophecies. But if you listen to that prophecy that was out of Isaiah 60 verse 6, you'll realize that there is something missing. And the thing that's missing is the myrrh, because you see, this is talking about his second coming, not his first. The first they come because Jesus had come to die, and so we have the myrrh. But with his second coming, there'll be no death, no speaking of death. And so it's wonderful as we look at the promises that God has placed in his word and then brings those promises forward. And as we watch them unfold, and we know that there is nothing in the word of God that's not going to be fulfilled. There's not one promise that God makes that he's going to fail in, not one. And so we come now and we look and we realize that Isaiah is speaking of his second coming. And so he came the first time the way he said he would come and fulfilled many, as we have three today in the text that we have read from verse 13 over to verse 23. Three promises that have been fulfilled according to quotes of the Old Testament. And we know that every one that still has not come to pass will come to pass. And so be assured of that. And so we begin now as we look at what has taken place here. And we know in verse 12, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And now we begin verse 13. When they were departed, in other words, when these whatever number of people that there were, and there's discussion of all the way from three, which most folks, the reason they pick three is because there's three gifts, believe there was anywhere from 300 up maybe 500. Who knew how many would come? It was enough that it upset the king and it upset Jerusalem, and there was a great a number that had come to bring their gifts unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When they had departed, we've had the shepherds coming, and now a period of time have lapsed. They've moved into a house. They're no longer in the stable. They are in a home, and they have been there a period of time. And now we find that the Lord's going to speak, use an angel to speak to Joseph. And he said, and when they had departed, when the wise men had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to be destroyed, to destroy him." The angels are very busy. They have brought great news to Mary, to Joseph, to now once again to Joseph. And I want you to not miss this instruction that has been given here. And the angels' purpose at this time is in guiding and protecting this small child, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here comes the angel, and he appears to Joseph in a dream. And Joseph is the earthly guardian of this child right now. If you would kind of think about that, think about the responsibility that was given, opportunity and responsibility that was given to Joseph in caring for this child. It is the Son of God, God Himself, and here He is to listen and to be obedient in what is done. And we need to listen and be obedient as we raise our children, because God has given us a daughter or a son to raise, and we need to understand the great blessing and yet the great responsibility that we have in listening unto the Lord and following where we need to go. Think about what was given. You know, serving the Lord is not easy. It's contrary to the world. And because we have the flesh, we love the world, and so it's easy for us to join the world and do as the world would do. And it would seem strange now, and you think about this dream and the orders, request that was given unto Joseph here. He says, you know, take the child. When they had departed, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee unto Egypt. Flee unto Egypt. That's the wrong way. I want to go home. We've already been away from home for 2 years or possibly longer, but Herod believed it had been 2 years since the child had been born, and so that was the reason he put his decree out for the killing of the children. But here this child, they had been away from home that long, and now it's time to hopefully go back home. Joseph is staying until he hears from the Lord. Think about that. He was told... They were required to go up and pay their taxes, and they stayed there. And then the Lord gave them directions. But it was directions the wrong way. What's Egypt stand for in the Scripture? All through the Scripture, what's Egypt stand for? It stands for the world. And yet, here we find that the orders from God to Joseph, the guardian of Jesus, to go to Egypt. To go to Egypt. Joseph, I'm sure, wondered, Egypt, why Egypt? But you see, Joseph didn't question the Lord. Joseph did what he was told to do. And he arose and took his family. And if you'll notice through this whole text, through 13 through 23, that every time there's made mention of Joseph's family, do you notice who's listed first? The child and then his mother. The child and his mother. And so the importance here, of course, we know is the Lord Jesus. We are not told as far as the time, because we know in verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was angry, and that's when he put this decree out to kill the children. And so, isn't it wonderful how that our God knows what's going to happen? Now, what did he do for Joseph and for the child, Jesus, and Mary? He gave them word, possibly before the decree had ever been put out to kill the children. They were given notice ahead of time. They were told ahead of time, enough time to leave the area and be safe. Our God does the same thing for us. He does the same thing for us. He will warn us ahead of time. He will tell us ahead of time. He will give us instruction ahead of time for where we need to be and what we need to do if we'll just listen. Joseph was given word, and he was obedient. And he has taken the child now and carried them off into Egypt. And once again, reading verse 13, when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And so you see, once again, Joseph was given two different instructions here. One was to go to Egypt, and the other is to stay until you hear from me again. You know, a lot of times, that's our biggest problem. We're impatient. We listen to God and we do one thing, but we don't wait. We don't listen. We're not patient. And so we begin to move and to try to do something before he wants us to. And so Joseph was given two instructions there, and I don't want you to miss that. One, to go into Egypt, which was a strange, strange place. That was a strange request. But when the Lord speaks, we need to be obedient. And then the second is, stay there until I tell you to come home. And so those two things. And so we find that that he arose and took the young child. He didn't wait. Joseph didn't tarry. Joseph went immediately. He went immediately, and it was even night. And so it was it that he rose up that day, and when he woke up in the morning, they collected all that they had, and off they went. And so they went by night, and one said that it was not only a darkness of the night, of the physical darkness, but it would appear to be very spiritually dark in the area too, because of what was to come to pass. So they departed and went into Egypt. And so, we need to understand that what the Lord will have us to do is always for our behalf. Always for our benefit. And so if someone criticizes us or condemns us because we're following Jesus, understand that that's to be expected by the world. And just praise the Lord and follow Jesus. Always follow Jesus. Here they were given great instructions, and Joseph was carrying Jesus. He took him into Egypt. They were in a hurry. They went by night. And you stay there till I tell you to return. And so what a request and what an obedience from Joseph. And we need to be the same. The word that tells us to go will also always tell us to return. And so wherever he will send us, when it's time to go to another place, just be patient. Serve the Lord one day at a time and listen to him and wait for his instructions, his further instructions many times. And so we find, and there was, was there until the death of Herod, verse 15, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. In they went, but as true as the word, they went into the world because he listened to what the Lord had told him to do. He had instructions of where to go, and we will be there till we're called out. And they were called out. And we know that Hosea 11, verse 1 is the quote that we have here. Once again, a promise fulfilled. God promised that the son would come from Egypt, out of Egypt. What a strange statement. Born king of the Jews. Why would he ever be found down in Egypt to come out of Egypt? And yet God made the promise, and he fulfilled this promise right here. The king of Israel comes out of Egypt. Moses was called to lead all of Israel out of Egypt. And yet the Son of God, Savior of the world, also is called out of Egypt. And now we come to verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men was exceedingly wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. When their wise men were there, he asked questions after question after question. And so now we find and now we hear that that this time period was this 2 years. Herod was furious. The wise men had made him look like a fool. And kings like Herod don't like to be made to look like a fool. And he was angry and he was furious. And he didn't give one thought to put the order out that every 2-year-old and younger would die. Not just in Bethlehem, but in the surrounding area, just in case he got away. He got a little distance away. We will find him, and we will kill him. That was Herod's demand, and he sent this out. And he was just, again, guessing to a little bit what age this child would be, and he wanted to get this supposed king, because that's the way he would look at the Lord Jesus. Men in this life and in this world many times will do anything to get rid of Jesus. They hate Jesus. They despise Jesus. We have come through this Christmas season and have heard more reports of nonsense in our government levels of what we can't have and can have. And in order to be politically correct, why we have all kinds of religions and of things of ignorance that we have seen, and it's all because they hate Jesus. And if the nativity scene would not be there, if the Ten Commandments would not be there, you wouldn't hear any report of what they want to do. It's because they want to come and they want to destroy the Lord Jesus and who he is and what he stands for. The world despises our God. The world is evil. The world is wicked. And so expect that. This king doesn't care how many children is going to be put to death. The devil's here for one purpose, and that's to seek and to destroy. And he doesn't care. He is ruthless, and he doesn't care how many he's going to kill, but he's going to find and kill Jesus. That's his goal. That's what he wants. And we find now in verse 17, then was fulfilled that which was spoken of Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah 31:15. In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentations and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. One after another promise is fulfilled. One after another. Was this the will of God that these children would be put to death? No, it's the evil and the wickedness of the world. But God knew it. God knew ahead of time to tell Joseph to flee from the area, and he told him a safe place to be, which to us seems a strange place, but to Egypt. And you see, God knew beforehand. He put it in his word that the son would come out of Egypt. And once again, we find a time of great sorrow in the area of Bethlehem and the surrounding area. And he speaks of Ramah, speaks of Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not found. As we see this prophecy, some 600 years before it took place, a promise was given, and it came to pass. You know, men say that religion and the atheists on one of the posters that they made that they set in one of the Capitol buildings, proclaimed that the Christians, they were basically shedders of blood and cruel, and a person is ignorant to be a Christian. That's what the world says. But the truth is that true religion, if you serve and praise God, that evil wouldn't exist. If all the world would fall down and worship and praise God, that wickedness would leave. The heart would change. So it's the lack of true religion is what's brought all the evil upon the world. And so praise and serve the Lord and honor His name in all that you can do. Some would blame Jesus because Herod sought to murder him and it cost all these mothers all their babies. That's the way the world would report it today. It's because of Jesus. They didn't know. The mothers would miss those children to weep and to lament. But our God took those babies and took them home and kept them safe. And we know today that that's what happens to a young child when they find an early grave, that they're not put into a place called hell, a place called a place of torment, but they're in a place of caring and of love and protection. Now they go straight into the arms of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there's loss, but that would be comfort as they attempted to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ, to kill all these babies. What a mourning. What a sad, sad day would come upon all if we had to face that. Again, a promise fulfilled. Verse 19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream unto Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead, which sought the young child's life. Joseph watched over all of Israel in Egypt. That was Joseph, the son of Jacob. Now Joseph, the guardian of the Savior of the world, also in Egypt, hears these words to come and go home. Once again, the child and his mother, arise and go. They are dead. Look at the respect that our God gives the enemy. He didn't even list their name. They are dead. You can come home now. And so he arose. Instead of this tyrant, Herod, being successful in killing the Christ child, we find that he is dead. Herod is dead. Return, said the angel to Joseph, and they didn't wait. He arose and took the young child and his mother, and they came to Israel, came back home. We are back home at last. To awake at once and go. Joseph followed the angel's directions once again. He followed the angel's direction to flee, and he was kept safe. He was following the God's directions through the angel a second time, and he returned back home. Now we find as they return home that there is in Herod's place his son. And we find his son to be as wicked or more wicked than what Herod was. And so fear came upon Joseph as he got close enough home and word come of who had taken his dad's place. But what happened once again? We can let fear control us. We can be afraid all the time, or we can look to our God and know He will guide us and protect us. And so when this fear arrived almost immediately, once again, came a message from God. He said, I'll take you to a safe place. There's a safe place. It's up in Galilee, and the name of the town is Nazareth. I want you to go there. And once again, a third promise is made and answered. Come to be found true. And he came and dwelled in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. To be born in Bethlehem when they weren't from Bethlehem. To go into Egypt when Egypt is known as the world. And to find their way back to Nazareth. What a strange, strange way. And yet God, 740 years before, had made the statement from the 14th verse that it might be fulfilled. The mother by night and departed into Egypt. In the end of verse 15, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. 600 years before was from Jeremiah in the 16th verse, with the lamenting and the death of the children. And then verse 23 confers concerning being a Nazarene from Nazareth, we find the promise fulfilled from Isaiah 11:1. Which was 713 years before God had made a promise of what was going to come to pass. And so we've got a couple things that I want us to see today. Number one, I want us to see that when God says something, it's as good as done. There may be a long period of time before it takes place, but it will take place. He promised a Savior, and the Savior has come. He promised that he'll come and take his church, and he will come and take us back home with him. He promises that he's going to come and plant his feet upon this earth a second time. He will come. He promises that there's going to be a 7 years of tribulation upon this earth. It'll come. He promises there a 1,000-year reign. It'll come. It'll come. He promises judgment to the lost, because they fail to come by faith to him. It'll come. He promises us an eternal home. It'll come. It'll come. Why was Jesus kept safe? Oh, God the Father was going to keep him safe. But he used a man named Joseph and gave him directions one at a time for him to follow, to stay safe, and to be right where he needed to be. And Joseph listened. We need to listen. We need to know and to understand that God will always take care of us, and God will always lead us, and he'll always take us where we need to be. The times that we get in trouble is when we go where we shouldn't be. But when we're where we ought to be, because we've listened unto our God, we've been faithful and followed, it's always going to be a blessing. And we see Joseph went to some strange places, and that's exactly where God wanted him. Joseph will get the blessings because he was obedient. Let's see that we receive the blessings because we are obedient. And isn't it wonderful to watch promise after promise to be fulfilled? Some before our time, some during our time, and some, I'm sure, after we're gone. But what a wonderful day to serve our Lord. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you today for the words that you have put down, that you have had recorded for us, that we can see and enjoy. What a trip we've made. We've left Bethlehem, went into Egypt, come out of Egypt, and now we find our way back to Galilee, back to Nazareth. Thank you, Father, for your word. Help us to totally accept its truth and follow it. Follow you, dear Lord. Thank you for coming, the virgin birth. Thank you for living down here in this forsaken land, that you may have experienced everything in every part of our life, that we may know that you'll understand whenever we face a challenge, whenever we face a heartache. We know that you'll understand because you had faced such a challenge. You'll know, you'll understand, and you'll know what to do. And you'll be able to send us the right direction or give us the right words to say even before something has happened, as with Herod. Now please touch all of our hearts today. I thank you for your precious word. Now please guide and lead us. Dear Father, please, through your Spirit, bring the lost and bring those who are saved, that they'll live a victorious life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.